Yeah. Wow, that was epic. First you set me up, and then this epic intro. Okay, here we are. Hey, my name's Adam. Great to be here again. Hey, I want to start out a little different, and I'm wondering if I can get a volunteer from this wonderful audience. Can someone raise your hand? I haven't got this approved, but I'm sure we can use some sank budget. Come on up, man. We can buy you something great. Okay, everybody give it up for... What's your name? Clark?
Yeah.
This is Clark, man. Have you ever seen the Whisper Challenge?
Oh, yeah.
She's seen the Whisper Challenge. Okay, so what's funny about this is I was talking to a friend this week, and I was like, I'm going to speak at Sank, and I got this great idea for how to bring up this topic. And I told her my idea, and she was like, Jimmy Fallon does that all the time. It's called the Whisper Challenge. And I was like, oh, okay. It's not original at all. Okay, so here's the deal, Clark, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to put these headphones on you, okay? And I'm going to play a song very loudly. And it's a Taylor Swift song, okay? Just prepare yourself. And I'm going to whisper a few phrases. Again, I got a millennial to help me out, pick some trendy phrases because I'm not so hip on the trendy phrases. And you're going to neither are you. Great. This is going to work perfectly. So you're going to try to hear my whisper while you're listening to Taylor Swift. I'll say a few phrases. I'll give you a chance to guess, okay? And let's see how you do, okay? Okay, put these on, sir. Man, really glad for that epic bumper video. That really helped. Yeah, you can rock out all you want. I don't think any of us care. Okay, you ready? I'm going to start the song. Okay, ready? Okay. Okay, ready? Come at me, bro. Come at me, bro. Okay, what's your guess, Clark?
I got nothing.
You got a guess.
Was that the same phrase twice? Or
yeah, same. Okay. You want me to do it one more time? Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, Taylor. Okay, ready? Come at me, bro. Okay, so you got a guess.
I'm in love with you. I know.
Okay. No, that was not it. It was come at me, bro. That was a good guess, man. Good guess. Okay. Let's do another one. Let's hurry up and go to the next one. Okay, here we go. Ready? Squad goals. Squad goals. Any guess?
White horse?
White horse!
That was
no,
it?
No, it wasn't it. Okay, let's do one more. And squad goals.
Okay.
Because that's a thing for you guys. I don't know. Okay, I've got another phrase, and if you guys know this phrase, you are really hip and trendy. Okay, this will be the last one. Here we go. Let me make sure I'm saying that phrase right. Oh my gosh. Okay, ready? I ship it. Do you guys know that? No? Yes, someone does. I ship it. I ship it. You guess. You got nothing?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Okay, the phrase is I ship it. Have you ever heard that phrase?
Yeah.
He's heard that phrase. Hey, let's go. Everybody give it up for Clark, man. No, that... Clark, I hate to tell you, but they record these services, and so this is going to be on video for the rest of your life. Yeah, I ship it. I'm a little confused by how that's used, but whatever. Thanks for playing along with that silly game. There is some relevance to this game tonight, because tonight I want to talk about whispers, and I want to talk about listening and noise and distraction. And I think if we're all honest, we would say that every one of us would love to have more guidance and direction in our lives. And if we're followers of Jesus, we would say that we would love to hear from God more. Maybe it's a big decision in your life, like a job, or maybe it's a relationship type thing, or maybe a conflict. But all of us would love more guidance and would love to hear from God more. And tonight we want to talk about this very idea by looking at one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible, and that's a story of a man named Elijah. Okay, so quick backstory on Elijah. Elijah was an old Israelite prophet in the Old Testament, and Elijah had witnessed this incredibly grand demonstration of God's power. So some Israelites had started worshiping this idol named Baal. And so Elijah set up essentially what was this public battle between Baal and the Israelite god Yahweh. And so he set up two wooden altars, one for Baal, one for Yahweh. And both groups would cry out to their god. And whichever altar caught fire, this would prove who the real God was. And so the Baal group, they cried out and they cried out and they cried out. Nothing happened. And then Elijah, as a way to taunt the Baal group, has people pour water on his altar. And then he cries out to Yahweh. And the altar burst into flames. And people, they kneel and they declare that Yahweh is the real God. And Elijah, like any prophet, is hoping that this thing would make his people turn back to God. But that's not how it worked out. And so Elijah gets frustrated and depressed, and he ended up going off to a mountain by himself. And that's where we want to jump into the story together. This is in 1 Kings 19. Verse 10, if you want to follow along. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." And the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. This is so, so good. It's one of my favorite things in all of Scripture. I don't know if you realize how beautiful and poetic this is. Elijah had just witnessed this grand, undeniable work of God. And now he's desperate to hear from God. And you would think God would do a similar grand gesture, but that's not what happens. God speaks to him in a gentle whisper. One of my favorite translations is from the King James Version. And it says, God spoke in a still, small voice. The all-powerful, divine voice of God that spoke the universe into existence didn't come in an earthquake or a storm or a fire, but came in a still, small voice. And this is beautiful, and this is a provocative story. But for you and me, this story is a little problematic. The story is a little troublesome. Because here's the deal. We all want to hear from God. We all want for him to tell us who we are, our identity. Who should I marry? What career path should I choose? We all want to hear from God. But we, you and I, have a major problem. We live in the noisiest, busiest, most distracting time in all of human history. I want to read a few stats to you. I don't think they'll surprise you at all. According to an article published by the BBC, we are now exposed to as much data or information in a single day as someone in the 15th century would be in their entire lifetime. That's insane. U.S. adults average, this was in 2017, the daily time spent with major media exceeded 12 hours. In a Pew Research poll, 84% of people said they couldn't go a single day without their phone. One in five people said they check their phone every 10 minutes. And, you know, I know what some of you guys are thinking, like, here's the the outdated church guy here to tell me that technology is ruining our lives. It's actually very far from the truth. I love technology. I love this stuff. I rarely make a decision without consulting Siri, Google, and Alexa. You know, I got to get all their opinions. I love double tapping some Insta-G's. I was going to see if that was a cool phrase or not. That's not a cool phrase. Okay. Scratch that. I didn't say that. Man, I'm an Apple fanboy. I love Hulu. I love Netflix. I love Uber. I love Amazon Prime. I like it all. Okay? Are you with me? I like progress, and I like tools, so I'm not against this stuff, but what I want you to understand tonight is that we have a really hard time listening to the still, small voice of God because we're surrounded by noise and distraction. And what I want to get across tonight, this is the moral of the story, what that epic bumper video talked about. This is the moral of the story. To hear from God, we have to be quiet and listen to a still, small voice. And here's the thing. God is always speaking, but we are usually unaware of his voice. So I'm not anti-technology. I just want to point out how hard it is for us to be still and listen. God is wanting to speak deep truths into our soul. And like Clark earlier, we've got our headphones on and we're listening to Taylor Swift and we can't hear what he's saying. Another one of my favorite scriptures says simply in Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." And the Hebrew word translated for be still literally means to let go of your grip, which I think is interesting. If we really want to hear from God, we've got to let go of the noise and the distractions that we allow in our lives. We've got to let go. And so for the remaining of our time tonight, I want to talk about three things that I think we need to let go of. And I want to talk about the practices we want to embrace and replace those with in our lives, okay? So the first thing that we need to release our grip and we need to let go of is our need to be entertained. We live in a world where we're accustomed to being entertained in every single moment. If you allow me to be the stereotypical old man for a second, I have a picture I want to show you. Do we have that picture? Maybe? We should. There it is. Okay. This is a picture of what I consider the golden age of entertainment, okay? I lived in a time where I remember if you wanted to watch your favorite TV show, you had to physically be in front of your TV to watch it. And if you weren't, you were in big trouble because you had to try to record that show on a VHS tape, okay? And to do this, you had to go through this complex set of calculations. You had to get the time right, the date right, the right coordinates, and if you were lucky, you got that right, you programmed it right, and then you still had to watch your favorite show through these fuzzy lines that constantly went back and forth. And then finally, like you can see in that picture, you had to make sure and label your tape right, okay? Because if you didn't label your tape right, your precious recording of Saved by the Bell might be recorded over by your sister's recording of 90210, which would be tragic, of course. This is the golden age of entertainment, you guys. Now, these days, man, I don't know if you're like me, but I get a minor anxiety attack when I just go to Netflix and I try to choose like what I want to watch. It's so hard. And then when I finally make that choice, I pick this exciting, critically acclaimed show. I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I'll find myself not being entertained enough, and I look down, and I'm looking at my phone while I'm watching this show. Like, one source of entertainment isn't enough for me anymore. It's crazy. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, one of the reasons it's hard to be still and be quiet is we get bored. We want a funny GIF or GIF, however you say that. We want to read an informative blog. We want constant music. We want to be entertained. And so we have to release our grip on the need to be entertained. And what I think we need to embrace and replace this with is the practice of solitude and meditation. One of my favorite authors, Ruth Haley Barton, says this: we are starved for quiet, to hear the sound of sheer silence that is the presence of God himself. And solitude is the practice of separating yourself from entertainment and noise and just being alone, your soul, with the sheer silence that is the presence of God himself. Just like any spiritual practice, this is really hard, especially for us in our day. But this is vital for us to learn how to release this need for constant entertainment and learn how to be alone with God. So that's the first thing. The second thing I think we need to release our grip on is our need to avoid, our need for avoidance. See, when we're still and we're quiet, we're forced to deal with our internal issues and our emotional issues. We're forced to deal with our fears and our anxieties. But as long as we remain distracted, we can pretend like everything is fine. And so the way that we release this grip on avoidance is we embrace what I would call prayer and a soul inventory or inventory prayer. And this is something I've started doing recently. One of my favorite practices right now, I'm a father of young kids, and so I never sleep. And so I wake up early in the morning, and I immediately start journaling. I journal 3 pages. And these words are prayers to God, and it's a way for me to inventory what's happening in my soul. And so I take what's happening in my soul directly to God. There's a verse in Psalm 139 that I just love that talks about this idea of inventory. It says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And then we see example of Jesus doing this very early in the morning while it was still dark. Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And I don't know what this might look like for you. Maybe this is setting a time early in the morning where you inventory your soul with God. There's a practice you can do in the evening called the prayer of examine. Some of you might have heard of this. Before you go to bed, you meet with God and you examine your day. You take an inventory of what's happened. How is my soul? What are my issues? I don't know what it is for you, but we have to embrace this idea of confronting our issues directly to God, expressing them directly to him. Now, the third thing we need to release is our over-attachment, is what I call it. So like a habitual attachment to technology. For many of us, we engage in technology without even thinking about what we're doing, with no intentionality behind it. When I was in fifth grade, I had my first basketball tournament. And I was so excited because my family and my friends were all in the stands. And I was a short white guy, so I knew that basketball career was super promising for me. So I was really excited. And all I wanted to do was impress my family and friends. And so right after the tip-off, someone passed me the ball, and I did what I'd done hundreds of times. I took the ball, shot a layup, and I made it. And soon I realized, right after a wave of laughter, that I had scored a point for the other team. I'd shot to the wrong goal. I was so concerned about impressing and so focused on impressing my family and friends, I didn't think about the game at all. I didn't think about which goal I should be shooting at. And I would ask you, have you ever found yourself like unlocking your phone and not even knowing why you did it? Have you ever found yourself scrolling through Facebook or Instagram stories or pics? No intentionality behind it, no thought. You're just doing it because it's there. Sometimes I find myself in a grocery line and I pull out my phone. Why? Because that's what you do when nothing's happening. There's a psychiatrist or professor of psychology and psychiatry, Richard Davidson, says this. I think if we're all honest about it, we all suffer from attention deficit disorder. And it's in part attributable to the kind of exposure we have to digital devices. The kind of feedback that we get from them is immediate feedback, and it's highly reinforcing, so it becomes like a drug. And in fact, it co-opts the same brain systems that are indicated in addiction. We need to release this habitual attachment, this habit that we have without intentionality. And like with any out-of-control habit, what I think we need to embrace is the practice of setting boundaries, setting limits. You know, I have a friend who has limited himself to one social network. That's the only one he's going to do. I got another friend who has limited himself to checking social media once a day. That's it. I know people who have decided not to check their email except when they're at work. My wife and I have both tried at times of not using our phone after a certain period of day. We put it in the room. Some of you may want to try an actual Sabbath. I don't know if you've ever done that. A 24-hour period where you set boundaries, where you can disconnect. Whatever it is for you, this is so vital that we detach from our noise and distraction. And so all of these things, they may sound a little silly or petty, or maybe they sound really hard, I don't know. But if we are serious about wanting to hear from God, we've got to start taking these kind of things serious as well. What we need to release in order to hear God's still, small voice. And so I'd love to tell you guys what all of this that we've talked about tonight has meant to me, how I've sort of been transformed by the story of Elijah. 4 years ago, I had the faced the hardest decision of my life. I was offered a job here at Menlo Church. The problem was my wife and I had just moved back to Oklahoma from Chicago in order to be closer to family. And we just had our first child. And man, this job seemed so perfect. And the idea of doing ministry in the Bay was so like invigorating. But man, we were torn. We were really torn. It was a hard decision. Should we leave family? Should we embrace this ministry opportunity? We even did this online like tool that's supposed to help you with decisions. And it weighs like your different things and gives you a percentage of which one's better, and it gave us 50% both, so not helpful at all. Man, I in that moment was desperate to hear from God. I was like Elijah. I needed to hear God's guidance in a still small voice. And so what I started doing is I started fasting during lunch, and during my lunch hour I'd go to a chapel, and I would meditate, and I would listen, and I would be still, and I would journal. And I wish I could tell you over that time that I heard an audible voice of God, or the words, "Move to California," appeared in blood on a wall or something. It'd be creepy, but convincing. But that's rarely how God speaks. And that's not how I heard. I began deep in my soul to hear a still, small voice whispering to me. I began to get convinced that this, moving here, was the right decision for our family, the right next step for transformation and growth. And it's not that meditation or fasting or solitude, they're not like a magic formula where you find this kind of thing out. I'm not saying that, nor am I saying that they made the decision easier. It was an incredibly hard decision still. But what I can say to you 100% is I don't think I would have been able to decipher that still small voice of God if I wouldn't have taken that intentional time to be quiet, to still my soul, and to listen. Because like we said at the beginning, to hear from God, we have to be quiet. We have to listen to a still small voice, and we got to believe that God is always speaking. We're usually unaware of his voice. And so before the band comes back up and we continue to worship, I want us to actually practice this. Really briefly, we're not going to do an hour of solitude or anything. We're just going to take some silence, and then we'll continue to worship. But as we take some silence, I would ask you to reflect and meditate on a few of these questions. So if you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. If you don't, that's no problem. No problem at all. Here's some of the questions I'd love for you just to reflect on. What are the noises and distractions you need to release your grip on? Maybe it's some of the ones we talked about. Endless entertainment, avoidance, habitual attachment. Then what are the practices you need to embrace in your life? Maybe it's a time of solitude. Maybe it's some sort of inventory prayer with God. Maybe it's boundaries or Sabbath. Then finally, how can you become more aware of God's still small voice in every moment? So we're going to take a couple of minutes. We're going to be silent. We're going to quiet our souls. We're going to meet with God, and then we'll continue worship together.